We are now in that time of year for the church that we refer to as ordinary time. That is to say, we are now in that season when the church is neither preparing for nor celebrating Easter or Christmas. We're not in Lent, we're not in Advent. So gone are the days of the purple or the gold or the white, and as you see, the green has returned. But the word ordinary, as the church uses the term, is related to the word ordinal, to mean or to convey numbers and counting, as in this third week of ordinary time. But we may tend to it, I know I have, tend to think of it as being normal time, not as exciting perhaps as the rest of the liturgical year, perhaps even a little mundane. But for the people we read about in this third week of ordinary time, living in first century Galilee, it was hardly ordinary, certainly not mundane. To begin with, the herald and the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist, had been imprisoned. After a time of preaching, he is imprisoned by Herod Antipas. And because of this, Jesus leaves Nazareth and begins to head to Galilee, in Capernaum specifically. Now, we should not interpret Jesus' leaving as some type of an attempt to escape. Jesus is not trying to escape anything. As a matter of fact, Herod Antipas, who put John the Baptist in prison, rules over Galilee as well. So Jesus is not trying to escape anything. But for Matthew, the end of John's public ministry was a demarcation point in the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And so he goes to Galilee. The question is, why Galilee? We cannot be for certain, but Galilee was very populated, a highly populated area, not as densely populated perhaps as Jerusalem, but there was a great many people living in that region, so I'm sure the people drew Jesus' attention. But there's a second reason, perhaps, and that was that the Galileans were certainly more open to new ideas, new styles of leadership, and perhaps a new kind of message. And what was the message that Jesus preached? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of God has come. The reign of God has begun. There are a few biblical themes that are as important as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It is the central teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially as it's conveyed to us in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, God taking on flesh, the kingdom of God breaks into the world, and with it, the hope, the peace, the healing, and the deliverance. I use the term eruption. It is an eruption. It is a breaking in from without. Not like a volcano. It's not a breaking out from within, but a breaking in from without. For the heaven is coming down to earth. And the kingdom is present, Jesus tells us. Wherever people are being freed from that which binds them, the kingdom is there. Wherever people are being healed of whatever it is that ails them, the kingdom is there. Wherever people are being set free from the sin that might enslave them, the kingdom is there. And this presence of the kingdom elicits an immediate response from us. The first response that Jesus gives us is to repent. If you look up the word repentance in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you will not find a definition for repentance. Instead, you will find two other words, the first of which is contrition, that is the sorrow of the soul for sin and the resolve not to return to that sin. And the second word is penance, a conversion of heart toward God, away from sin, again implying the intention to change one's life, because of our hope in divine mercy. And so the first immediate response to the presence of the kingdom of God is repentance. The second immediate response that we see in the gospel today to the coming of the kingdom, the presence of the kingdom of God with us, is to now follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as I've said in homilies past, to detach ourselves from the things of this world and attach ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you read the gospel this morning, you cannot but be struck by Jesus' call and the immediate and prompt response of the disciples. Jesus simply says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And without delay, without any hesitation whatsoever, they quite literally drop everything they are doing and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and Andrew leave behind their occupation, their livelihoods, suggesting that they even just drop their nets right in the water and follow after the Lord. James and John even leave behind their father, which was probably Zebedee and Sons Fish Company, leave the father behind and their occupation to follow after the Lord. Matthew and Mark both suggest that they didn't even have any prior knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, although John's gospel does. But either way, they have this immediate response. Now, how are we to understand this and make sense of it for ourselves? First of all, I think they leave everything because it was the only proper response. When the Son of God invites you to follow after him, it is the only right thing to do. As I shared earlier, when I started my diaconate formation, they told us whenever the archbishop should ask anything, there's only one reply, right? Yes, sir, I'll do it. How much more so when the Son of God calls you to follow after him? The only right response is to say, "Yes, Lord." But there's something important that we have to point out here. And that is, while the call to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ is universal in its scope, it is all-inclusive, Jesus calls everyone to follow after him. What that means to each and every one of us as individuals is going to be different. We are all different people in different seasons of life, and that will take some discerning to know what exactly that call might mean for me. But the call goes out to all, and the response should always be the same: "Yes, Lord." But there's a second reason I think they respond to Christ with such immediacy. Why? And that is that they see in Jesus something that they have been searching for their entire lives. They see in the Lord Jesus Christ the fulfillment of the heart's desire. Let me share what I'm talking about. The great Catholic thinker Blaise Pascal once said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God made known through the Lord Jesus Christ." Catholic theologian Karl Rahner once said, "We all have an innate desire for God because we are made in the image and likeness of God." Franciscan friar and spiritual writer Richard Rohr said, "We all have a homesickness for God." And of course, this great St. Augustine, in the quote that I'm sure you are familiar with in his confession, said, "God, you have made us for yourself alone, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." So I'm suggesting that the reason why the apostles or the disciples responded with such immediacy and completely to follow after Jesus is they saw in the Lord Jesus Christ the end of their search, that Christ would fulfill in them that God-shaped vacuum in their hearts and bring an end to the homesickness that they had. And the same is true of us today. Several weeks ago, my wife and I had the privilege of attending the Broadway performance of Jesus Christ Superstar at the Sanger Theater. It was an incredible performance. From a biblical perspective, it's very creative and extremely well written. And there are numerous lines that I enjoy quoting from the musical now. But one of my favorites is the line coming from the apostles themselves when they say, "Always hoped that I'd be an apostle. Knew that I would make it if I tried. Then when we retire, we could write the Gospels, so they'll talk about us when we've died." And so here we are, 2,000 years later, on the day that Pope Francis has designated the Sunday of the Word of God, still talking about the apostles. still talking about the Gospels that they have handed down to us. Why? Because they are no less important today than they were 2,000 years ago. Because the kingdom of God is here, and that presence of the kingdom elicits an immediate response from us. First, a response to repent, and second, a response to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ.